Have your Bibles this morning. 2 Kings, you'll notice there's one word used about this lady that I haven't found really mentioned many times in Scripture in connection to a person. She was a great woman. Now, I think all of us would like to be great at something. I don't think the world's definition of great is what we want. I told Sunday school class this morning, I was watching a ball game, and one of the players had a terrible three quarters of the game, and his team was losing. And in the fourth quarter, he had a great fourth quarter. And at the end of the game, they interviewed him. They said, "How's all this happened? Tell us why." "Well, you know, you can say a lot of things. Well, I got great teammates. I got a great coach. The fans are great. They just encouraged me on." And his words were, well, he says, "You know, I want to humbly say I'm one of the greatest players in the world." Well, he was trying to be humble, but I hope no mom in this room, well, I want to humbly say I'm one of the greatest moms in the world. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't even think that if you're the greatest. If you have your Bible, keep your finger in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to go back and just kind of look at what makes her great. But I want you to see God's definition. Look in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 26. Now, the disciples have been arguing, who's going to be the greatest? Now, I want to encourage you today, every lady in this room can be great in the Lord's eyes. Every one of you. Every man in this room can be great in the Lord's eyes. I didn't put the word great there. The Lord did. The Holy Spirit did. So all of us can be great, and we'll look at it and see what it takes to be great. Well, notice what Jesus said. One of the number one ingredients, notice if you would in verse number 26, "But it shall not be so among you." In other words, having great authority. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them." Great positions, great power, great authority. "And they that are great exercise authority upon them." So understand, you can be great in position. You can be great in responsibility. You can be great in wealth. But God didn't care about that. If you want to be great in the Lord's eyes, notice what he says, verse 26. "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So remember this phrase, the way up is down. Did you get that? The way up is down in heaven's eyes. The way up is down. The way to be great in the eyes of the Lord is to be down in your own eyes. Notice with me, if you would, three simple things. This lady was great because she had many shining characteristics. I mean, shining in the sense that people saw them. Notice, number one, look in verse 13 of chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, "And he said unto her." Now, we're going to get in just a minute. She did a lot of wonderful things for Elisha. Now, you have to understand, Elisha was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah. And Elijah brought fire down from heaven and turned a nation back to God. But Elisha did twice as many miracles as him. Now, I want you to notice that he comes into town, and this great woman of Shunem, she sees him and she starts doing things for him. She wants to be a blessing to him. And listen, she's not expecting anything in return. That's the difference. The way up is down. I just want to be a blessing. You don't have to do anything for me. So Elisha being a man of God and somewhere that's spiritual says, look, you've done a lot for me. What can I do for you? So notice in verse number 13, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. You've been good to us, watched out for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What can I do to pay you back? And then he lists some things. Wouldest thou be spoken to for the king? Hey, you guys that ran all the wire, how many of you helped run the wire in this building? Now, let me take just a minute. How many of you ran the wire in this building? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. Raise it up all over the place. I want everybody to see it. All over. If you ran any wire in this building, raise your hand. All over. I know these guys are being chicken because there were hundreds of guys, it seemed like. But I appreciate all of it you did. And if I said, yeah, I want to pay you back, I want to go tell the president how good you are. I'd like to honor you before the president. Okay? Now, you might say, wow, that's a real honor. That's the position of Elisha. He had the king's ear. Could I brag on this lady for you? Well, notice, number two, or to the captain of the host. The generals that run the military, maybe I could just tell them how wonderful you've been. Could I go tell them? Now, you and I, we can't wrap our heads around that because that's not possible for anything we do. But maybe I would say, look, I'd like to call all your bosses and tell them at your work how good a workers y'all are and how sacrificial you are. Would you let me do that? Probably nobody but a couple would say, yeah, tell my boss that, would you? Okay. Most people wouldn't do that. But notice if you would. He says, well, I could tell the general. He'd put a hedge around your family that nobody would ever touch you again. Would you like for me to do that? The king would bless you so that you would no longer be a commoner. Would you like that? And notice what she says. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. I'm a nobody. I just like being among my own people. I don't want to be recognized for anything. I didn't do it for that. She was humble in heart. She was down to go up. She was great because of that. All that she didn't do it to get. She did it to give and to be a blessing. Every mom does that. Moms are probably the most sacrificial people as a group on the face of the earth. Sorry, dads, but that's the truth. I remember reading a little story about in India, a mom had her baby there. They were both dying. They were starving to death. And the social worker was there, and she gave the mom a potato, and she saw the mom put the potato in her mouth, and the little girl was there. She was probably 3 years old, and she was laying in her mom's arm. They were laying on the ground. They were dying, and so she takes that and begins to chew on it, and the social worker says, well, maybe she's going to take care of herself first, and then maybe she can help her baby. And she said, well, man, you know, maybe she's just kind of selfish. And she noticed her take that first bite, laying on her back and chewing it up. And then she takes her child's head, pulls it over to her, and pushes the chewed up potato in her baby's mouth. She took what would make her live and gave it to her little one. That's a mom. Here, this great woman was, look, I want to take care of you, not you take care of me. Others are first. She was great because that was a shining characteristic. Number two, she put others before herself. Not only was she humble, but she wanted to do him good. She didn't want him to do her good. She was not only humble, she was submissive. She didn't want to be first. Jesus said to the disciples, whoever wants to be first among you is going to be last. So the idea is she was great because she had this shining characteristic of, I just want to do for other people. I want to do for you. She was sacrificial. Notice what she did. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. And she said unto her husband, behold, I perceive this is a holy man of God. So she's submissive to her husband. She wants to follow his leadership. And so you notice what she says, which passeth by us continually, let us make a little chamber. She was creative in her ideas. Her husband didn't think about it. I mean, he's probably out there in the fields working and doing all kinds of things. Comes in and his wife says, hey, honey, could we make a chamber? By the way, this is the first mention ever of a prophet's chamber. How many ever heard of a prophet's chamber? Okay, well, here it is. She was great because she was the first one. Let's make a prophet's chamber. Now notice what she said in it. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber. I pray thee on the wall. They lived on the wall. Their house was built on the wall. So let us make a little addition to our house, a prophet's chamber. And let us set for him there a bed. And she goes on. She's thoughtful for other people. And they were willing to pay for it. They were sacrificial. It didn't matter to her how much it cost. She wanted to be good to them. I remember growing up, going to school, my freshman year. And I can remember going to my mailbox and getting a little envelope in it with $5 in it. And I remember going back home and I didn't think much about it. She said, maybe you can enjoy this and go get you an ice cream. She knew how much I loved ice cream. Maybe you'd go to the store and get you an ice cream or get whatever you need. And it was a $5 bill. Now, that was several years ago. $5 still was not much money. But it was much money for her. She worked three jobs to help me stay in school. My dad had left. My brother was there. And she was trying to feed him and keep things going. She was so sacrificial. I got back that year, and my pastor came up to me, and he said, Dave, he said, I just want you to know your mom really sacrificed for you this year. I said, I know it, Brother Gary. She every time she'd send me $5 bill to go get an ice cream and or to go have a good time with some of my roommates. And so I know that was a sacrifice for her. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, she didn't buy any meat this whole year so she could send you $5. I said, oh my. So you mean while I was going to get me an ice cream, she never bought meat, not hamburgers, not hot dogs, not steaks, not chicken, not fish, nothing. Why would she do that? She loves you, Dave. She's a sacrificial woman. This lady was great because she was a sacrificial woman. And there are ladies in this room, there are mothers in this room, you're sacrificial too. I mean, you do all kinds of things and you don't expect a lot in return for it. And then maybe you do, but you can't be great being that way. The Lord is the one that makes the wrongs right and the right and takes care of things. All our job is to do is just to do what's right. And to be good to other people no matter what. And mothers do that better than anybody. They're sacrificial. I notice she wasn't worried about her own safety. It was the safety of her family. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reaper. So he goes out to help his dad in the field. And he said unto his dad, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. Isn't that just like a dad? Dad, I got a headache. My head's hurting. Oh, hey, Johnny, go get the mule and take him to his mom. I'm busy. Takes him to his mom. Guys, compassion is not usually our big thing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, when Jeremy would cut himself, my dad used to say to me, when I would get hurt myself, my dad used to say to me, son, I got worse places than that in my eye. Well, he didn't, but he was getting my point to me. You know, I'd cut myself a little bit. Now, I'm not talking about 30 stitches. I'm just saying, you know, oh, I skinned my knuckle. Oh. I thought I got worse places than that in my eye. My mom would kiss it. Anybody have a mom that would kiss it? You know what I'm talking about? Just good to us. So if I was hurt, guess who I did not go to? I'm not going to go get the eye treatment from my dad. I'm going to go to my mom and get, oh, honey, come right here. Let me kiss it for you. I mean, that's what I wanted. So I got a little skin mark or whatever. That was mom. I looked at it. I said, wow, you know. But now listen to this. Here, this woman, her son is brought to her and his head's hurt. And he says, oh, my head, mom, my head. But this is serious. He dies in her arms. So he must have had a brain aneurysm or something. So she's going to go ask the preacher for help. So notice what she does. Verse number 21. She went up and laid him up on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee. Boy, she had a great attitude. She was sweet to her husband in the midst of her son dying. She said, send me, I pray thee, honey, please, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. So I got to go get help. My son's dead. In verse 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? I don't think he even knew what happened. He said, it's neither new moon nor Sabbath. Why are you going to go to church right now? And she said, it shall be well. She kept it from her husband because she was going to fix it herself. She was a doer. So notice what happens. Verse 24, then he said, okay, saddle an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Now watch this. And slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee. So she gets the ass to saddle and she looked at the servant and said, you push it. You whip this animal to get to the man of God and don't worry about me. How many of you ever sat on a running animal? Your brains are jarring. I mean, you're all over the place. You're hanging on. And she said, don't worry about me. You just whip the animal. I got to get there. But I tell you what, she was a woman that put other people first. She wasn't worried about her own safety. I remember reading a little story about a mom had a new baby, and they lived in a trailer house up on a mountain, and all of a sudden, she heard a sound, and she had the windows open for the breeze to blow in for her newborn. And she heard a sound, and she walked in, opened the door, peeked in, and she saw a mountain lion sitting on the window looking at her child. Her first thought was, I got to kill it. She turns around, runs to the kitchen, and grabs a butcher knife and charges the mountain lion. And it ran out the window. Why would she do that? My baby's first, not me. She wasn't concerned about her own safety. Now, you know, maybe we would do that, maybe we would not. But a mom has that mindset, and that makes her great because she wants to take care of others more than herself. And her own safety is not that critical. I mean, how many have ever had an illness and you're very ill and your mom comes in and takes care of you? You don't know what you got yet. Maybe you've got bronchitis. Well, I don't know if that's all contagious, but maybe you got COVID or maybe you got some disease that's easily transmissible. I don't know about your mother, but my mom was right in there feeding me chicken noodle soup and putting a cold rag on my head, and it didn't matter what I had. She wasn't worried about her own safety. Shining characteristics that we all see and say, wow, she might get sick. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to take care of her. Not only that, but she had a special attitude. I want you to see this. This is amazing to me. Look, if you would, in verse 37. Notice with me, if you would, the baby's died. Her son's died, and he's probably 8 years old, six, 8 years old, but he's died. And so notice, if you would, Elisha comes in. If she goes and gets him, he comes in, and he heals the baby, one of his miracles, okay? In verse number 35, then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi. Now, Gehazi is his assistant pastor. And he said, call the Shunammite. Call the great woman. So he called her, and she, when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Now watch what she does. And then she went in, saw her son's alive, and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took her son out. You know what, you know what this special attitude was? A gratefulness that transcends what I want. She comes in, and I'm amazed by this. You think about this. What would the first thing that you do when you see your son alive again? You go over and you hug him and you kiss him and say, oh, man, I'm so grateful that you're alive again. She sees him sitting on the bed alive, and she goes over to the preacher, and she gets down, and she says, oh, thank you. Thank you. And then she gets up, and she goes and gets her boy, and she takes him out. Who would do that? Someone with a special attitude that I've got to be appreciative to what people have done to me more than what I want. What a lady. No wonder the only place in Scripture that I can find that the Lord calls a lady great is here. That attitude alone made her great. But the last one I want you to see, she had a spiritual heart. You'll notice, if you would, in chapter 4, I want you to see this. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 10. And when she made him a little chamber, I pray thee on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed. Now notice what she does. She goes the extra mile. She says, let's make him a bed. Hey, you have to realize most people sleep on the floor in this era. I mean, to make a bed for somebody, you and I heard Brother Scott came in, took the kids on a trip, some of the juniors and seniors, and came back, and he says, boy, he says, how's the trip? He said, went great. I said, are you glad to be back home? He said, man, it's great to sleep in your own bed. How many of you like to sleep in your own bed? How many of you would rather go to a hotel and sleep in their bed? Not many. Okay, why? Oh, I like to sleep in my own bed. Just wonderful. Well, how many of you like to sleep on your own floor? Not many of us. Some, maybe you got a back problem, but it's not normal to sleep on the floor. This lady, they were not known for having beds, and so she makes a bed for the preacher. She goes the extra mile. She's trying to be good. You'll notice she gives a list here. A bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And notice, if you would, she says, I want to take care of him. And so this spiritual heart goes to, I want to be able to read his Bible, his parchments at night. I see him come in struggling in our house to read. I want to get him a really nice candle, and I want to get him a real nice table and a really nice stool so he can read the scriptures. I want to get it where he can kneel down beside his bed and pray. This lady's got a spiritual heart. And I notice, if you would, I see that she has got such a spiritual heart. And this is the greatest aspect of her spiritual heart. When she had a problem that she could not solve, it was beyond her. And I wonder how many moms, dads, young people do this. She was great because of this. She takes her son. Notice, if you would, she takes her son. And notice in verse number 21, when she went up, she laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him. He's dead. She takes him up and lays him in the prophet's chamber. And she said, only one person can fix this. It's the preacher. Now, don't come to me with this. You got to come to the Lord. But she had so much faith that God would use this preacher. She lays her son on the bed of this prophet and says, I've got to get to him so he can heal my son. She knew where to go when she had a problem. I can remember times whenever in my family we had problems and with health problems with my wife or my son when he was early born, right after his birth, and during his birth. I can remember getting on my knees beside my bed and saying, Lord, it's me. I need you. And you know, every spiritual great person knows to say, when I got a problem that's bigger than me, I know who to go to. And that's your Heavenly Father. Now, folks, today, are you trying to be great in His eyes? Are you trying to say, Lord, I want to be close enough to you that I could get on my knees and I know you'll hear an answer? And at the very least, you'll comfort my heart. You know, we can't ask today. Well, we can. But the Lord, normally when someone passes away, it's over. I can remember when my little girl passed away. She was born dead 47 years ago. I fasted and prayed for a week that the Lord would let her live, because he could do it. He chose not to. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him why. Or I'll say, thank you for keeping her. But I can tell you this. Every one of us in this room, when we have little problems or big problems, if you're going to be great in heaven's eyes, you got to do what this great woman of Shunem did. She got on that animal and she whipped that animal and said, you go and don't stop for me. I've got to get to the God of heaven. And that's what every one of us in this room have to do. Lord, I got to get to you. You run to Jesus. That's what makes you great. When you begin to trust him so much with the little problems and the big problems, Lord, I'm trusting you. Would you help me with this? Most Christians are not great because they don't take advantage of running to Jesus. So they carry weights they don't need to. They worry about things they shouldn't. They get upset about things for no reason. Because the Lord is there and he says, come unto me, I'll help you. Today, are you trying to be great in his eyes? This lady did. And in scripture, he said, there was a great woman. Now, I think the reason you left her unnamed is so we could put her name in there. Every woman in this room, I want to be great in your eyes. Humble yourself. The way up is down. Know where to run when you have a problem. And maybe today you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. Oh, I know how you can fix that today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play. Brother Brandon to come and lead us in a verse of a song. Maybe today you're here and you've been struggling this week. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling this month or this year. Could I encourage you to run to Jesus Christ? Maybe you need to come to this altar. Folks, this altar is a place where you can come and just say, Lord, could you forgive me? I've been trying to do things of my own. Maybe you could come here and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I've been wanting to be great in my own eyes. Lord, I just want you to be pleased with me. That's what makes us great. When you learn to run to Christ with your burdens and problems. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, maybe you're carrying a weight. Maybe you're facing a big problem. Why don't we come to this altar and say, Lord, would you help me with this? I need your guidance. I need your protection. I need your blessing, your provision. Lord, I need you. Father, speak to our hearts today. Help us to be great in your sight because we know who to run to when we have a burden. In your name we pray. Amen.